Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. Though you may not realize that the ongoing threat of terrorism is affecting your life and that of your loved ones. Each week, Dr. Carol analyzes the hottest topics in terror and helps you and your family reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror.
And Monopoly, but not terrorists? Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, a psychiatrist and your terrorist therapist. Yes, I know you're wondering what on earth do Muppets and Monopoly have to do with terrorism? Well, I will tell you. I'm sure you have noticed that there is an increasing tsunami of cancel culture, of things being canceled left and right. Gone with the Wind, Aunt Jemima, all kinds of things. Well, it's not getting any better. I mean, like you would think that by now all the things that some in control of this it's a Freudian slip. This cancel culture movement, you would think they would have been satisfied by now. But no, they're continuing to go on, basically wanting to cancel everything. We're going to have nothing left. Everything's going to be canceled. Now, Muppets. Why would you think that Muppets and Monopoly, you know, two staples of childhood, why would those be canceled and not terrorists? And by that, I'm talking about radical Islamist terrorists for the most part, as well as lone wolves and so on. Now, there's one caveat to this, this discussion, and that is that cancel culture does want to cancel the people who stormed the Capitol, who they are calling domestic terrorists, and they have extended this now, however, to basically be calling the Republican Party, all Republicans, terrorists. So, putting that absurdity aside, let's talk about the Muppets and Monopoly. And also, I'm going to be talking today about canceling Shakespeare. Did you know Shakespeare was canceled in some schools? And then I'm going to talk, give a brief story about a terrorist who is on trial in the UK now. And his connection to children, and you know, it's sort of an amazing contrast between canceling Muppets, you know, the outrageous canceling of Muppets and Monopoly and Shakespeare in school, compared to a real terrorist who outed, so to speak, a brother terrorist who was going to do real harm to a member of the royal family. So let's start with the Muppets. Okay, as of this moment, they are not literally canceled per se, but they have been bullied into putting a disclaimer on in front of the Muppet Show, which is on Disney Plus. They're going to have a disclaimer that warns of, quote, offensive content, unquote. Disney Plus just released 5 seasons of The Muppet Show streaming on Disney Plus. And so people are going to be able to watch Kermit the Frog, Miss Piggy, Fozzie Bear, and so on. I love the Muppets. And the disclaimer, you know, there's the Muppets are so fuzzy, literally fuzzy and benign and comforting to kids. And now it's going to have a disclaimer in front of the show. So like kids are watching this, right? And before they see their favorite animals, characters, they're going to read this disclaimer. Now, yes, not necessarily 4-year-olds are going to be able to read it, but certainly 6 and 7 and above are going to be able to read it, you know, at least. So here's what it's going to say. It's going to warn viewers that the show features quote unquote stereotypes and quote mistreatment of people or cultures unquote. It says, quote, this program includes negative depictions and or mistreatment of people or cultures. These stereotypes were wrong then and are wrong now. Rather than remove this content, we want to acknowledge its harmful impact, learn from it, and spark conversation to create a more inclusive future together. Disney is committed to creating stories with inspirational and aspirational themes that reflect the rich diversity of the human experience around the globe. Now, it didn't say specifically what they were apologizing for, but some characters depict Native American, Middle Eastern, and Asian people. I mean, it is all done in a very innocent kind of way. One thing that was noted is that in season five, the legendary country singer Johnny Cash is seen performing in front of a Confederate flag. Wow, you know, that is just going to destroy America. Anyhow, I'm being sarcastic, of course. They're also going to put this warning before some iconic movies, including Aristocats, Dumbo, Peter Pan, and Swiss Family Robinson. I wonder if it's going to have a poison symbol next to the these disclaimers. I mean, this has gone way, way too far. I tweeted this morning in regard to, I came across an article that had to do with Monopoly, and I'll tell you about that. So I tweeted, from Muppets to Monopoly, cancel culture is destroying our lives by trying to make us feel guilty for loving iconic TV, films, games, Shakespeare, statues, etc. Making our history disappear is how they want to take over our minds. Cancel culturists are the real terrorists. This is something that is really gaining more and more of my attention. Not only the cancel culture going way, way too far, but also what kids are being taught in school, which is all related. And, you know, it's one thing I want to explain up front is how you may think that this is like trivial or, but you know, the more we lose, and I'm not, I am not for racism and I'm not for making fun of people or, you know, any of that, like, duh, but all of these things being canceled or Disney having to put an offensive warning, you know, before their television shows and movies and so on is just ridiculous. And the bad part about this, well, there are lots of bad parts, but as a psychiatrist, what I am especially concerned about is canceling all of these things that were parts of our childhood, parts of our history, parts of our normal lives. These are markers that we unconsciously use to keep our sanity. We expect certain things to be that way. We expect the Muppets, for example, to be cute. We expect Monopoly to be a fun childhood game. We certainly expect Shakespeare to be taught in school. So on statues and history and schools being renamed and all of this, it is having a very dangerous effect on our minds. And especially in these days with coronavirus and the politics, you know, being crazy and not ending. And it's especially, we're in especially in an especially vulnerable time. So for all of these markers to be taken away or canceled, it adds to the danger of us falling apart, basically, us, you know, losing our minds. All right, now Monopoly. What is happening to Monopoly? Oh, okay. I hope you played Monopoly as a child. I certainly did. I spent countless hours playing it. A lot of fun. Well, did you know that now there is cancel culture claiming that we should cancel Monopoly, right? Because the classic or standard board was allegedly, was originally based, all of the properties on Monopoly. The game was created by a realtor and he took these real names from properties in Atlantic City. Now, some people are trying to twist this around to say that, so he went by the actual value at that time, this was in 1930, the actual value of these different streets. But now, of course, leave it to somebody to say that this is racism, because they're saying that all the cheapest properties in Monopoly were Black neighborhoods. And it was due to the racial segregation in the 1930s in Atlantic City. Well, it may be well true that the cheapest properties, I mean, it is true that the cheapest properties in Monopoly were, in fact, the lowest value in terms of real estate in Atlantic City. But they didn't pick it. The realtor didn't base his choice of these streets on the fact that they were Black neighborhoods. It's just that at the time in the 1930s, the Black people who were in Atlantic City were poor, or at least a lot of them were, or some of them were, and they happened to live in these poor neighborhoods. But it was not a racist thing to begin with. And so that's kind of a good example of how everything is being twisted. Everything is being looked at with a jaundiced eye. Oh, they did this on purpose to discriminate against Blacks. That was not true. Well, actually, the first person who created the sort of the prototype, or the original, so to speak, Monopoly, was a woman named Lizzie Maggie. And she created this in 1904. She created this real estate game. She patented it in 1904. And she created it as an educational tool and a protest against America's property moguls. Again, nothing about racism. And the sad part of the story is that she only got $500 and she never got any residuals for creating the game. Then someone else came along in 1930 and they revised it to be contemporary for that day. Well, when we come back, I'll finish telling you about Monopoly, and then I will go on to Shakespeare and on to the actual terrorist in the UK on trial. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show, where today we're talking about cancel Muppets and Monopoly, but not terrorists. We're talking about, we're talking first about the Muppets and about this offensive content disclaimer that Disney Plus felt they had to put. I mean, that's the thing, it's such intimidation. This whole PC is such intimidation. That's what they base it on, and it's just getting so much stronger. We have to fight back, obviously. Okay, so now getting back to Monopoly, there is, why it's coming up now is because some woman wrote an essay in The Atlantic, and she is accusing the founders or originators of the game, maybe not Lizzie Maggie, who did it in 1904, but the one after that, Jesse Rayford, a man who actually lived in Atlantic City. And that was his hometown. And so he knew all the streets, and he fixed the prices of the different properties on the board game according to the actual real estate hierarchy at the time. He was not, he didn't make this happen. He didn't, you know, he didn't, it wasn't his fault that there were a lot of Black people living in the poorer areas. And that was not his point. He was actually, you know, he, as a realtor, he was, it was just, you know, this is his work. This is what he does and what he saw every day. So he lived on Ventnor Avenue. I'm sure some of these, the names of the streets and avenues are going to sound familiar to some of you. His friends, he had friends called the Joneses and also friends called the Harveys, and they lived on Park Place and Pennsylvania Avenue. And yes, those are some of the more expensive streets on the board game. Now, this woman who wrote the essay is saying that these were streets where Black people were not allowed to live, and they made the priciest spots on the board game. Now, the cheapest spots on the board matched streets in low-income neighborhoods, where there happened to be a lot of Black people living, for example, Baltic Avenue. That was just worth $60 on the board. And it was the street where the Harveys, in other words, the friends of the Rayfords, their Black maid, Clara Watson, lived on Baltic Avenue. So, you know, twisting this around and trying to say that it's racist is just pretty absurd. Okay, so we have the Muppets and Monopoly. Now let's go to Shakespeare. This is something that, it all bothers me, but, you know, it's shocking. It's like every day you see new things happening and it's unbelievable. Okay, so Shakespeare is getting canceled in some schools. There was an article, somebody wrote an article, a librarian wrote an article in the school library journal, and a slew of English literature teachers wrote in, and they talked about how they were ditching Hamlet, Macbeth, Romeo and Juliet to make room instead for, quote, modern, diverse, and inclusive voices. Now, why did they cancel Shakespeare? Because they are accusing him, his works, as promoting misogyny, racism, homophobia, classism, anti-Semitism, and misogynoir, which is a new word. One that I have never heard of before, but apparently I think it is fairly new. It means racism against Black women. Somehow I think that like most of this came from Black Lives Matter, but I'll check that out before I absolutely claim that. So they also didn't like him. They also wanted to cancel him because they say that he was a tool used to civilize Black and brown people in England's empire. And they want to challenge the fact that his works are universal because somehow that means whiteness. Shakespeare has lived through the ages, and his works have lived through the ages because they are so universal. Because the things, even though it was from an older time, but the issues that they deal with and the feelings that they deal with, betrayal and love and, you know, suicide and families bickering with each other, and just all of the themes are still universal today. So they do teach. They do teach important lessons. You know, quite frankly, you know what I think? I think that these teachers who canceled Shakespeare have been having a hard time understanding Shakespeare. It's a lot of work to understand Shakespeare if you really do it well enough to be a good teacher of it. And I, you know, it's a lot easier to read the more modern kinds of stories being put out there. And I really think that is their motivation, their thinly veiled motivation. So also they're trying, to the extent that they are mentioning Shakespeare or using his plays, they do it to lecture about toxic masculinity and Marxism. I mean, this is another example of how these people, who are trying to, you know, who are behind cancel culture, are just trying to find negative things in all of the beautiful, historical, iconic parts of history, parts of our lives, and just twisting it around to mean something bad. So what's shocking is how so many teachers are being allowed to just decide that they're not gonna teach Shakespeare. So instead, you know, they are saying that they want to, you know, use these more modern, diverse. I mean, I'm not against also including in the syllabus modern, diverse voices. That's fine, but you don't throw away Shakespeare altogether to make room for modern, easier to understand kinds of things. Because I mean, I remember. Think about when you learned Shakespeare. Part of the joy of Shakespeare was interpreting it, was figuring out what these things meant and looking deeper. The language is so beautiful in Shakespeare, you know, and so interpreting it, and with the teacher, of course, helping us to interpret it, and then getting to the deeper meanings. And, you know, we use examples of Shakespeare, lines from Shakespeare, of course, today, you know, it's all over the place. For example, just recently, with the events, you know, related to the impeachment and all the political backstabbing, we use the line, a tu, Brute, in talking about the people who were betraying Trump, and like Pence, for example. That was the final straw, when, and so people were saying, "Et tu, Brute," you know, "you too are going to betray me." So, you know, this is just part of our culture in so many different ways. And, you know, it is stripping our culture and making room for things that do not have the same history, do not have the same, I mean, obviously, if something becomes a classic, whether it's Shakespeare or the Muppets or Monopoly, if something becomes a classic, it's because it touches something inside of us, either when we were children and or when we grow up. It's not, you know, it's not everything that becomes a classic. It's only things that really touch us. And so to take away the things that touch us and replace it with Marxist ideas or just lighter, you know, just things that don't have as much weight, things that don't carry as much significance, that is just stripping our culture of all the beautiful things that it has. Now, you know, don't, I know, I don't want to hear you saying that the Muppets are a beautiful thing. They are a beautiful thing. If you've had kids and you have taken them to a Muppet movie or let them watch television and watch the Muppets, I mean, the Muppets, not to spend too much time on the Muppets, too much more time, but, you know, the Muppets teach kids all kinds of good things. There are reasons for each of the Muppets, and they are teaching good behavior and good morals. And you know, it's not just like compared to like a lot of other things. These are not just cartoons that have no meaning, and which is why they become a classic. Why kids love them, why parents love them, and why they should not be canceled or have these warning signs in front of watching it before you watch it. Because what does that do psychologically to a kid? You know, regardless of how much they understand of the warning, it makes kids, you know, they're sitting down to watch this nice Muppet movie or television show. And the first thing they see is this warning. It makes people feel, uh-oh, should I not be watching this? Is this bad? Are Muppets bad? I mean, that's basically what it translates to. All right, well, we'll stop this segment for right now. And when we come back, I'm going to talk to you about a real terrorist, a real radical Islamist terrorist, and the trial that has started in the UK. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show, where we're talking about cancel Muppets and Monopoly, but not terrorists. Cancel culture is the real terrorist. The cancel culturists are the real terrorists. They are terrorizing us, from game makers to Disney to people who make food products to, I mean, just we are being terrorized, intimidated to look at the beautiful things that our society has created and societies before it, and to look for something bad in it. This is bad. This should be banned. This should be canceled. Well, let's look at a real terrorist. That's what should be canceled. Radical Islamists are what should be canceled, and we should... We need to be paying attention to them instead of as being bad, not the Muppets. All right. So in the UK right now, there is a trial going on of a man called Saheb Abu. Saheb Abu. I'm going to call him Abu after this. He is a jihadi rapper. He's on trial for planning terrorist acts. As many terrorists who get caught have done, he unfortunately was talking to a counterterrorism official who he thought was a fellow terrorist. And so he told him about a lot of things, you know, his own plans and so on. And then it turned out that this was an authority who then reported him, and he got arrested, and now he's on trial. Now, and he's really an interesting guy, because he's on trial at the Old Bailey, and for planning a terror attack during the COVID-19 pandemic. And he was talking to an undercover police officer, to be specific. And he was talking about, in his defense, I mean, as he was talking to this undercover police officer, and now at his trial and so on, he's very talkative, this guy, Abu. Let me tell you first about some of his things. He is a jihadi rapper. He makes rap songs, and one of his defenses was he tried to say that that these things that he was saying, he joined a chat group, an online group, where he talked about where he was very pro ISIS and so on, and he said some things, and also to this police officer. And he used the excuse at his trial that really he was just rapping. These were just lyrics to his rap songs. And he wasn't really serious about it. It was just that these things rhymed with each other. So another thing that he said is that he joined this pro-ISIS chat group to find a wife. He said, "I was just there to try and get a girl. It's nothing to do with ISIS." But then he's 27 years old, and he's accused of buying a sword, a knife, body armor, and other things in preparation for an act of terrorism. And he joined this encrypted Telegram app, and said things supporting ISIS and so on. And he said that he was only saying these things. He said, "Let me show myself off, a macho big man, and my ego. I'm just showing off as a type, like bravado, strong, macho Muslim." He said that he saw icons in the group of flowers who represented the female members. And he thought, quote, "Maybe behind that screen is a flowery, you know, who wouldn't mind marrying a beast like me, like flowery woman who wouldn't mind marrying a beast like me." He said he knew that a lot of brothers met their wives on online, like in WhatsApp groups and so on. He said nothing to do with ISIS. He said he had a grudge against ISIS because two of his half brothers died after joining ISIS. "I already lost two brothers to terrorism who became terrorists." Then he said, yes, I mean, he was really clever. It's too bad he didn't use this cleverness for something good, but because he kept coming up with one excuse after another, not that the court is likely to believe all of these things, but he said that he was only watching ISIS videos because he was looking for his brothers because he didn't want to believe they were dead. So he kept looking at one ISIS video after another for his brother. And he said the things that he purchased, like a sword and so on, he wanted to use as a prop in videos. He bought a bulletproof vest, and he was saying that was the prop. He told the police that he didn't want to F up his life by becoming a part of terrorism. And he had business ideas like making fruit and irrigation projects for developing countries. Was a good rapper because he comes up with all these things on the fly. Okay, what does this have to do with with cancel culture and kids and Monopoly and Muppets? Okay, Well, in as part of his, you know, all his jabbering and in his court case, he mentioned, I think maybe he thought that this would perhaps get him less of a sentence if he gave them some information, you know, to help them accuse somebody else, pin some terrorism plans on somebody else. So he told the court about a plan to poison Prince George's ice cream. He said that a brother and an ISIS brother was, who is a pro ISIS propagandist. His name is Hussein Rashid. He is someone who was already in jail. He was put in jail for life in 2018 for a number of terrorist offenses. But Abu told them about how Rashid had a plan to poison Prince George, you know, Kate and William's son, who is in line for the throne. He said that this man, this Rashid, who already is in jail for life, you know, there are 25 years, 28 years, essentially for life. But he told the jihadi rapper, told the court that he planned to target not only Prince George, but the whole royal family by poisoning ice cream. He said that the plan was to poison ice cream in a Sainsbury. He said, you know what his plan was? Say, like, the royal family house is there. They go to the nearest Sainsbury's and put poison in the ice creams. So the royal family will go and buy the ice creams from there. Now, somehow I don't think that the royal family buys ice cream in a Sainsbury. I mean, and if they, Sainsbury is like a Ralph's or an A&P or a Target. Well, not exactly Target, but, you know, it's a grocery store, a chain of grocery stores. And so he's saying that this terrorist who's already in jail for life, his plan was going to poison ice cream, like all the ice cream in a Sainsbury that was near the royal family. And they would come in and they would buy ice cream, and poor Prince George would be poisoned, as would the rest of the family. Okay, so that is poisoning kids. It's not the Muppets. It's not Shakespeare. And it's not Monopoly that is poisoning kids. These are radical Islamists, ISIS, who are literally, they don't fool around with the Muppets. They are literally trying to poison the royal family. Now, again, I don't think that the royal family goes to Sainsbury and buys ice cream. It is possible, but I am sure they have things tested before, you know, tasters or whatever, before that would be a little too dangerous for, especially to give the kids. That is not a very likely scenario to poison. And the chances of, you know, you poison, how many times would you have to poison? What are the chances, whether the royals go to Sainsbury every once in a while or not, what are the chances that if you poison all of the Sainsbury ice cream, what are the chances that the royal family is going to go and get that ice cream and eat it and die before other people shopping at that Sainsbury's would buy the ice cream and die or get sick? So the whole thing is pretty ridiculous. But that is what real terrorists do. They don't poison the minds like people who are cancel culturists are claiming that, you know, these things do, the Muppets and so on. They literally poison people or kill them in other ways. Now, well, I guess the time is up, and I will end here. But I want to leave you with this thought. The thought is, I mean, the reason why I've gone into all of these things in such detail is because, well, first, because I'm really angry about it. I have become, the more I have found out about these things, not just about these cancel, more and more things being canceled, but about what is being taught in school, the angrier I'm getting, and the more I want to alert people, please, 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 pay attention to what your children, your grandchildren, your friends' children, what they are learning in school. And please do not go along with these cancel culturists who are trying to cancel not just American life, but really the life of lots of cultures around the globe. Well, thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
If you would like to find out more about terrorism from me, your terrorist therapist, visit my website, terroristtherapist.com. And if you're a parent or teacher and want to build stronger nests for your kids to become more resilient, check out my new award-winning book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. It's the first and only book about terrorism for kids. You can find it wherever books are sold or directly from the publisher at terrorismforkids.com. Terrorism, the number 4, kids.com. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. We hope listening to the show has made you feel calmer, more resilient, and more able to reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror. You can also check out past shows on Renegade Talk Archives for more insights.